Welcome to this segment of the Bioethics Channel as we focus on healthcare reform moving forward following the U.S. Supreme Court ruling upholding the Affordable Care Act. Joining us on the program is Dr. Robert St. Peter, President and CEO of the Kansas Health Institute. Dr. St. Peter, we've had a few weeks now to mull over the meaning of the Supreme Court ruling. Have we learned anything as we've actually taken time to read the court's ruling and try to discern what it means?
Well, I think we've learned that nothing's as simple as you might hope that it would be. And even though the Supreme Court has ruled, there seems to be a lot of questions still out there about exactly what states will have to do and will not necessarily have to do. I think the biggest issue, of course, is around how the Medicaid expansion may take place and whether individual states will decide to go ahead and expand Medicaid coverage to more of the low-income adults, primarily in their states. Another important element that has not been as clearly addressed is around the requirement of states to continue their Medicaid program as they currently exist. The ACA, in addition to expanding Medicaid, had a requirement that states continue basically the same parameters of the Medicaid program that they had prior to passage of the ACA. So, for example, certain populations that were already on the Medicaid program couldn't be taken off the Medicaid program. Certain services that were covered by Medicaid couldn't be eliminated. But already there are several states that are now saying since the Medicaid expansion was deemed to be an optional thing for states to do, that other elements of the Medicaid parts of the ACA may also be subject to further interpretation by the courts, the maintenance of effort issue being one of the big ones.
Well, with all of this, then there's still some uncertainty, and it just simply complicates full implementation of this law, doesn't it?
Absolutely, to the extent that the timelines laid out in the original bill are going to be met, it complicates things immensely. That's another issue I think that is still on the table, which is will the federal government give states a little more flexibility in meeting some of the timelines as they were originally envisioned. And another, just to go back to one other issue that I think is being talked about a lot, that is another legal issue, and that's the issue around reproductive health services that are part of the benefit package, insurance coverage that would be made available through the ACA. There are several states and political leaders who are questioning whether the inclusion of certain types of contraceptive and abortion services can appropriately be required to be paid for by certain employers and groups who may oppose them on moral issues. Whether those will approach constitutional issues of freedom of religion or whether it will be non-constitutional legal challenges to those sorts of issues is another thing that seems to be talked about a lot out there.
It seems like this particular law, the Affordable Care Act, is so subject to how an election plays out, nothing that I've ever seen before. This really causes a lot of segments of the population, business owners and others, to essentially remain on hold until we know the election results. Is that something that you've ever seen before?
Well, it is very unusual. You know, for the last several months, everybody kept saying, let's wait until the Supreme Court issues its ruling on the ACA, and then we'll sort of know where we're going. Well, now the Supreme Court has ruled and upheld the law, and now everybody's saying, let's wait until the elections and find out who's going to control Congress and who's going to control the White House, and then we'll sort of decide how we're going to move on this or not. I think that the uncertainty that is being created in the political environment does play out very much so in the business planning for insurance companies, for hospitals, for provider groups, and lots of people involved in the healthcare system. Everybody has said that the worst thing is the uncertainty for them to not be able to know what the ground rules are as they're developing their business plans for the coming months and years.
Now, you at the Kansas Health Institute are working on a number of things, no matter what decision is made, and one of those issues is around community health needs assessments. Talk to us about what you're doing with that.
Well, one of the elements of the ACA that isn't talked about as much is some of the parts that address trying to improve the health of the population to reduce the demand for medical care and to reduce the spending on health services. One of those is the requirement that hospitals that are nonprofit hospitals have to report to the IRS on a regular basis what they're doing to benefit their community that justifies that tax-exempt status. And an important element of that is that they conduct these community needs assessments and then develop a community health improvement plan that specifically responds to the needs that are identified by the community. So there are hospitals all across the country and here in Kansas that are trying to figure out how to do that responsibly and to develop community health improvement plans that actually respond to the needs of the communities that they're serving.
And there are other aspects of the law with deadlines. One of those, October 1st, around the issue of quality benchmarks and value-based purchasing models and such. And so a lot of these things sound great, like reducing the rate of hospital-acquired infections and other things to try to reduce healthcare costs rationally and effectively.
Absolutely. It just so happens, Laurel, that today the United States House of Representatives Committee, called the HELP Committee, which oversees a lot of the health programs, actually passed a resolution that would eliminate essentially all funding for research related to quality of care and sort of efficiency of services and how systems are organized to be more effective and more safe. And it's one of the things that is very perplexing to somebody like me who does research and tries to understand the healthcare system and develop the information that's needed to help the system improve and get more efficient, less expensive, and safer for patients. There is a strong move to strike funding for the kind of research that gives policymakers, hospital administrators, doctors, and lots of people the information that they need to make those kinds of decisions.
Do you get a sense, and there's some polling out there to support this, that at least some of us want this to move on from the debate on health care reform, that the Supreme Court ruling means the issue is resolved, and it's time to implement the law and make changes as needed. Would you agree with that, that people have a sense that let's move on with this?
Well, I said before the ruling that whichever way the Supreme Court ruled, the debate was going to have to move on. Our healthcare system is severely broken. It's costing too much money, and it's delivering results that are just not acceptable for the amount of money we're spending on the system in our country. So things have to change in the healthcare system. I think that we are going to be moving forward no matter what happens in the November elections. No matter what happens to Congress's willingness to fund different elements of the ACA over time, there are lots of things changing in the healthcare system that will continue to change regardless of that, and they need to. We have a system that's broken and in immediate need of beginning to change the course of the healthcare system over the next several years.
Dr. Robert St. Peter is president and CEO of the Kansas Health Institute. For more information, visit KHI.org. That's KHI.org. I'm Laurel LeBou. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.